Herzlich willkommen beim Business Wege Podcast. Hier geht es um den Zugang zu Praxiswissen rund um unternehmerisches Denken und Handeln. Du erfährst in Interviews mit CEOs und Solo-Folgen, wie dein eigener Businessweg nachhaltig wachsen kann. Ich bin Stella, die Inhaberin von Business Wege und dein Host und wünsche dir jetzt ganz viel Freude und Inspiration beim Hören dieser Folge. Welcome to today's interview. It's a very special one because it's the first interview we have in English. The founder from Japan, Ryo, is visiting us today and he is the founder of Co-Living Fukuoka. His concept is about bringing entrepreneurs together with the Japanese society. So super interesting. I have so many questions. Let's dive into this, Ryo. First of all, I have a little question for you. Do you have a specific slogan or motto for this new year?
Oh, this new year. Thank you very much for a big question, even at the first one. Okay, so my main vision of whole of my life is to make as more people possible to where they are meant to be. Now, many people cannot choose their location to make their life the best. They have some struggle. Like in Tokyo, when I was in Tokyo, I had to take a train to go to the office with tons of people in really small cars and train. And they're so stressful. Then you also have to work until the midnight. It was so stressful. Many people still have some kind of the stress. In Tokyo, in Japan, they cannot choose where they want to go and they really have to be stuck in one place. But once you can choose the location to work, to be where you're meant to be more comfortable, which is really fun. I'm really interested to make the new working style. This year, I feel something different. I was saying, okay, be a nomad so you can get the free to choose the location. But since the AI technology is coming to the real life, many people actually are really scared. They want to lose their job. They were just a writer. They were just a translator from the original language to the other languages. But now AI can have everything for free. Who used to be really free to choose a location, they actually go back to the company. This year is a really critical year, I think, to choose the next 5 years. The way of the life. For me, it's really important to find a way to survive for the future. So I don't have a really specific the title for the slogan, but I feel really important.
Wow. Thanks for sharing so many big thoughts. And I love that you are sharing also to look ahead, really not just the next month, but where do you want to be or where are you meant to be in 5 years, like more long-term visions? Or how did you know where you are meant to be when you've started your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, thank you very much. I used to work for the big company in marketing Japan. And then thankfully, my boss just sent me to the really nice division that actually let me go anywhere, literally anywhere. I traveled around more than 50 countries during that mission. And I just found that way to be a remote worker. Then once I started to be a remote worker, I just felt like really good vibes. Oh, I feel really, I'm happy. Then I just started to imagine if I could choose the location to be where I'm meant to be, I feel really more comfortable for my life. Then more than that, I also wondered, if more people can choose a location to work, I think they're going to be more fun, especially in Japan, maybe also same as in Germany. You know, the local countries have lose the economic impact of the loss of the population. Many people started to consider how we can keep these new beautiful villages and town in the future. Then I also, my imagination just go farther. I cannot stop thinking about the future. If I could have the global remote worker to the local destinations, like beachside and some smaller villages with a beautiful forest, maybe they're going to have something new. So this is my basic idea. And my grandma actually lived in really remote island, has a really beautiful beaches. Then I was just dreaming, a really small dream. If I could have my friends from all over the world to my grandma's beaches with the Wi-Fi and during the removal. That should be so fun. You know, that's really small dreams just growing up after 10 years now.
Did you realize that dream on the island? Did you bring your friends together?
Yeah, it's actually started. Actually, one American guy just left the share house in the island and he wrote a mini thing about the island. He titled over the blog saying, "This is the best. This is it. This is where I should be." His title just like coincidentally connected to my vision without his notice.
When you're talking about having dreams first, having visions first, how do you do it to realize them? Do you have a proper way of doing it? How's your way of working also from the cultural perspective?
This is my private background, but I was born in Nagasaki and my grandma was the kid of the survivor of the atomic bomb. So I was always thinking how we could create a real peace world. I was also considering to work for the United Nations, but the reality doesn't really, you know, seems to be like United Nations is not really helpful to create the peace war. Then, okay, maybe this is not the way for me to get involved to creating the peaceful war. Then I started to look for something else. So this is also my basic concept for my life. So I always thinking how we could connect Japan and the world to do something better for the world in a peaceful way. Instead, I don't know why, like I'm always mindset. Then I used to have lots of global friends from outside the country to come to Japan. I had many opportunities playing about what Japan is. Everybody thinking of, okay, Nagasaki still exists? Oh no, of course, yes. But they don't actually have any idea what's happening in Japan, especially before the COVID. Now Japan is one of the top list of everyone to come to Japan in their trip, right? So they know about many things in Japan, but at the moment they didn't know anything about Japan. So I just gradually to learn about Japan. Japan, since I started to go to the global community in a digital nomads community, I was feeling a bit like nowhere. I feel different from the others, like from Germany, America, and the Western countries. Oh my God, I feel like everything is different from my mindset. Then I feel really away from them. Then I was actually kind of obsessed. Okay, they are right. I was wrong. I have to follow them. That was my first mindset. Maybe I could say, this is just a different. This is just a different from them. It's not just a correct or wrong, but maybe I could tell something to them. I could share with them. Then they actually started to get interested because now Japan is really popular to visit. And they're really interested to the Japanese mindset. Okay, I could tell something interesting, not just different, interesting to them. So I just gradually learn about Japan. It's not about just only the history and the culture, but more like mindset and philosophy, which is different, but it's interesting to the Western people. From last year, I actually had some speech on the stage about the harmony. Japanese people doesn't like to say no. It's actually really true. We don't really say no. We always want to be like in a gray zone, even if you don't really want to do, but we don't really want to say no. I don't want to go. This is a totally different mindset, especially Germany.
Oh, yes.
But yeah. Japanese people really love the harmony. That's why. So well, our first constitution on the first article, it says Japanese people have to respect the harmony. Not right and wrong, white and black, top and bottom, right and left, or something like that. It's no, we don't really like to say that. So this is not just like, no, we are too shy to say no. This is no, because we don't have enough courage to say no. It's not about like that, but this is our culture. Since I started to talk about this, no, they started to get more like understanding and we started to talk more deeper. This is the kind of beginning, and I'm still digging into the Japanese concept of the philosophy to sharing to the global community.
Thanks, Rio. That is so interesting. Also that you tell from your perspective during travels, for example, you felt different because there's this different mindset. Obviously, you grew up in a different culture. I'm interested if you talk about harmony. How do you implement it, like the concept of it, in your business life? How does it look like?
people say the diversity, like there are many personalities that existed in one community, so we have to respect for it, all of the preferences. Now in Koribu Fukuoka, we have the many people from many countries, like more than 50 come to Koribu Fukuoka in Japan, and how we could create the harmony of the community, which is so different. But when you think about the creating the harmony, actually, we have to start to think about each of themselves, like the identity is the most important part, who you are, understanding who you are. As a Japanese people, when you live in Japan, you don't often see other than Japanese people. You always see like mostly Japanese people. You don't really see any differences. So you don't really have the opportunity to think about yourself, because everyone looks like same. But it's really important to talk about yourself to make some, you know, distance to the others. You know, once you can measure the distance to the others, it's really easy to understand why you guys are different. You know? If you don't have any measure to see the distance, sometimes may say, oh, why they don't understand about me? Why they are not doing like me? Because they misunderstand. They should be close to me. They should be the same as me. So it's really difficult to find the distance, how far, how different, you know, each of them are. But just first of the things, we have to recognize the distance. We can create a position in the harmony. Then you can be more comfortable.
Okay, and if you talk about now your co-living, is it, for example, that you create special events, special spaces where this harmony is represented, where people can be introduced from their individual perspective, or how do you do it in the event?
We put the theme in our event, which is called Koribu Fukuoka, the co-creation for the future. No matter where you're coming from, no matter what you do, no matter how old you are, we just want to put some of the co-creation project so that we can make some one goal to share. We can just try to reach out to the goal together with the harmony. When you have to make some decisions, I personally don't really like the democratic way to do that. Because if you have that many people, is it always correct? I don't think so. I always suggest that the people have the discussion to solve the problem, to make a decision. Not just only the democratic way, but like discussion and talking and understanding each other. I think this is the best way. And then understanding each other is going to be the priority for us. Not just telling your personality or telling your opinion. But listening is the priority for our community. I always try to ask them, what do you think, to understand for them and for each of us to go forward. Sometimes I feel weird, you know, when I was in the discussion of the Western way of the communication. Wow, voting is always one way to make a decision. But I just always try to make another way to go to the next.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. That really helps, especially thinking about communication as a way to learn, to grow. Because if we share our concepts, it's an easier way to bridge our ideas and where do we come from, right? Not just in a cultural perspective, but also which family system do we come from? This all has an impact. So yeah, I really see your point and it sounds super interesting how you translate it to the co-living. 2 years ago, I had a business program about leadership in Germany, where the concept of ikigai was introduced again. Like I heard about it several times. That time it was like, okay, let's really work through the ikigai. We had like small groups with three other women in a circle and thinking about, okay, how can we establish this passion? I'm super interested if ikigai is a thing for you. So how do you think about the whole concept itself, like regarding entrepreneurship, your whatever it's called, right? Passion, purpose. Yeah, let me know what are your thoughts.
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic because last year in Koribu Fukuoka, we actually put the over 75-year-old women as an entrepreneurship as our main session on the stage. Of course, they don't speak English. Also, we have to translate. We actually put some old translation applications to the audience. They just naturally use the word of ikigai in Japanese, and that we are so inspiring. We were actually almost crying from their talk because their smile is like stunning. I'm just doing so. Even after 75 years old, do you even want to walk? No, but for them, they have the ikigai for their work, their business, because they can make more people smiling. They can get more thank you to their work. Some of the Japanese traditional meals to the customers, and every time they get the thank you to their like lunchbox, for example, then they say they feel ikigai. Otherwise, they cannot go outside of the home. They don't have any chance for outside of the home, so they don't have anything to do. But instead, they can go to their office. It is actually the kitchen, and they cook for someone else. Then they serve their meals to the customers. Then they say, that's ikigai. And then their smile is so amazing. So for me, ikigai is actually the purpose of the living. And once you have nothing to do, you're going to lose your ikigai so that you don't really have fun to keep your life in a positive way. Then, as a Japanese, I don't really understand why Western people are so interested in this word, because for us, it's just like a regular mindset. So every time people asking me, okay, what's your ikigai? Please tell me more about ikigai or something like now you do. I actually don't think I get what you mean, what you're supposed to ask me.
Okay. Hi, du. Hier spricht Stella und es geht gleich direkt mit der Folge weiter. Ab sofort öffnen wir den Zugang zum Businesswege-Netzwerk. Das ist unser strategischer Raum für mehr Klarheit, Fokus und unternehmerische Entscheidungen. Wünschst du dir Unterstützung auf deinem Weg? Du kannst dich über den Link in der Beschreibung direkt für einen Platz bewerben oder dir ein Erstgespräch buchen. Wir öffnen den Zugang ab sofort einmal pro Quartal. Und jetzt ganz viel Spaß beim weiteren Hören dieser Folge. That's exactly, I think, what you were talking about before, this different mindset, which is super difficult for me to, this concept of a word. So what's behind it? How do you figure it out? That was the original question. If you have, for example, like consciously any recommendation for people like entrepreneurs in the Western world from Germany, how they get to know what their purpose of a living is. So is there anything you can give here, share like some practical advice?
You don't have any words in German, the purpose of the living?
We have some words. It's more, I think, the biggest difference that you have a concept behind it. So if I now think about the work I've done with the Ikigai, like having these several areas, and I think about, okay, what can I put in? How do I figure out what I'm here for? So I have North Star, like the one you were introducing us to in the beginning. Do you have any process behind it, or does anything come up into your mind right now?
No one of the Japanese people have the kind of analysis for the words. It's only for Western people, I think. We just regularly use the word without any of the analysis. Yeah, we never had any workshop to think about our ikigai. Like, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, that's good. That's interesting, Ryo. This is a good answer. I know that it's not that important in Japan because it's so integrated.
Yeah, but I think one of the interesting thing is, so as I already mentioned, we Japanese people always take care of the others rather than yourself. Maybe we say collectivism rather than personalism. We always have to think about the others. The others is like more priority for my life. That sounds really like also really hard you living sometimes, because you cannot tell what you want to do in front of the other people. But if you just be just quiet, something rather than when people say something to you, be stressful sometimes, but if they look like happier, okay, like it's mm-hmm. okay enough for our life. If you have any hard work, thanks to your hard work, people laugh, people smile, people happy. It's our ikigai. This is, like, in Western way, your personal request, personal wants, it must be the priority for your life. This is the way. But in ikigai concept, always think about the others rather than yourself. This is, I think, yeah. the really critical point.
Yeah, for this one. Also, for the preparation for the interview, I wrote down collaboration as a concept. During our talk, so we've met during the Nomad Summit in Chiang Mai and we had a lunch together, and I found it super impressive and interesting how you handle to talk about the co-living. It was also an event for you, like a business event. You had some events besides the main business conference, eating ramen together, which was a super huge event as well. So from your expertise also in the area of marketing, I'm super interested how you think and implement marketing concepts. Because in the end, if we talk about business, it's also about paying customers, right? And in your way, this whole collaboration approach and also making people smile, I found it very interesting to hear more about that perspective, to reach customers, get customers. What is your thought about it?
There are two strategies in my marketing to promote the Collective Fukuoka. The one is the first of the stakeholders that I reach out was the government. Since this promoting the global market, bringing them to come to Japan, especially to the remote area, we are not bringing people to Tokyo and Osaka, Kyoto, a really popular destination, but Fukuoka, which is still a big city, but we have a lot of small town villages, so beautiful. This is our mission. As I already mentioned that now the Japanese government has also struggled to these small villages to survive to the next future. So we just asking them if they can also help us, our events, and make it more attractive. Then they actually do. They subsidize a lot of the budget to support our events to make it better and bigger. So we have a lot of partnership, not only just one local government, but more than 10 local government actually supported us to promote our event to the global market, which is really strong support to maintain or to make it better for our events, and it makes really going good. And secondly, we started to travel to the whole of the Asia. Chiang Mai is also the big destination, and we also go to Da Nang and Vietnam, and we went to Philippines, Malaysia, Singapore, Taiwan, South Korea. Since now, Asian destination is also getting popular for the digital nomads because it's kind of affordable and good people, more safe and amazing culture. Now, more and more Asian destination is coming up on the market, right? Okay, so it's going to be competitive, but we don't want to. I went to see all of the initiatives in Asian nomads market in Chiang Mai, Da Nang, all over the places, meeting them, talking them, sharing that vision. And we all agree with connecting Asian nomads initiatives to support each other. Once we organize one event in October, the other leaderships of nomad community try to avoid to overlap the whole of the schedule, or even try to connect with each of the programs so that the nomad participants can go to the others after the previous one was finished. We actually created some of the routes of the Asian nomad destination things so that people can fly very easily now. These two strategy actually worked so well. We still connected in private sectors with the community and the government as well. And this year, especially Fukuoka City and Chiang Mai City has a strong connection, not only in the private sectors. We have the collaboration, as you also talked about, our biggest party in Chiang Mai Nomad Summit this January. We asked the venue, which is one of the most popular co-living space in Chiang Mai, they offer to let us use their space for free. Then we also support them on their regional program is going to be happening in next September. We also going to sponsor them. Then we went to the consul general of the Japanese embassy in Chiang Mai. They also strongly supported us. And Chiang Mai city government also came to Fukuoka city that year to have a more good relationship. These kind of things, not just asking the private sectors, but now even the government also connected to the local private sectors, to do the same thing, to collaborate people. I think this marketing strategy is now going really well, and I really want to expand.
Super nice how you put it together, the two different strategies you are following, and especially also to get into touch with the politics, like the government, so that it actually can be a way to port. We had it here in Chiang Mai as well, and this was also new for me to see how close it can be, like each other. Mm-hmm. Thinking always in a win-win mindset instead of want to be better, whatever. Talking about your main business model now, where do most customers come? So is it mostly online marketing, or how do you attract your customers until September, I think, is the event, right?
October, yes, October. Last year, we had the entrepreneurs as the biggest portion of the career in our participants, entrepreneurs, the founders. And the employees are on the second rank, and the freelancers are on the third rank. And mostly American people, also the biggest portion of the nationalities in our participants, I think on the fourth rank after Thailand and Taiwan. Thailand, Taiwan, okay. We had a strong special relationship. So, Germany, Italy, actually on the second rank if we don't have any special collaboration with these two countries.
Okay.
That's also because we had a special collaboration with the German online students community. There are university students, but they can have the online classes in university, so they can travel at the same time. And there's one special program, which is called something like this. I forgot.
Uh-huh. Oh,
but yeah, we had a partnership with them. So we had more than 12 students from Germany came to Japan for their first time, staying in Fukuoka for 2 weeks. And they also be a volunteer to have Kolebe Fukuoka as well.
Super. Okay, so again about partnerships, that's something I really take away today, like collaboration that you establish throughout the journey. Then I would love to ask one big question. During our first meeting, our first lunch, we were talking about the business environment. From my understanding, Japanese culture is similar to the German one, having a lot of baby boomer generations, like older generations, the demographical, thing, the risk we have. You were talking about it before. What's going to happen with the small businesses that exist from these older generations right now? Is it also a topic, a thing in Japan to say, okay, instead of starting a business from scratch, I could actually take over or buy a business in Japan?
Yeah, Japan is now interesting. There are so many, hundreds or maybe more than that, 10 or 20 thousand of the companies, really small and the middle size of the companies still exist from 100 years. I think one of the biggest markets in the world, there are that kind of small companies existed from hundreds of years ago. I think this is really similar to the Germany. Now they have a big struggle to find the way to take over their business and technologies, not only just in the factories, but also in handcrafts, art and culture. Now, government also start to support to find someone and to take over their technologies and expertise to the next generations. And I'm also really interested. And since I often go to the startup conference, there are so many investors there. When I talk to them, they, of course, interested to invest to the new technology and startups and tech startups in new industries like AI. But also, they are really interested to invest to the Japanese traditional small companies, which has the special technologies. Only company can have adopt something like machines on board and some vehicles. Like in the vehicle industry, Germany and Japan has a big industry in car. Toyota has a lots of grandchild companies under their holdings. But these small companies build up really small needles or some parts of the car, but only the company can, create that one. So if we lose that company, we have to ask the other countries to create something similar, but it's just a similar. It's not the same. The car company like Toyota, Nissan cannot keep their quality anymore in the future. This is a really significant problem for our industry. So how we can keep their technologies, not only just car industry, but in many ways, right? So yeah, it's really critical issues for our future.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for sharing. I think word you were using, problem, it's really an indicator for all the founders and entrepreneurs hearing this podcast interview, that if there's a problem, there's really also like an opportunity. Think about that as a business idea. Like that this could be really a market potential and chance. That's why I was asking as well, because you were sharing with me this word. Let's see if I can spell it correctly. Atsutsugi. That's your concept for...
Yeah. It's really now famous word. It's also just a regular word, but we started to use the word atsutsugi, means like taking over. Now, yeah, getting popular, and many people asking, even me, if I could have another business and who has a long history, but they're going to lose their generations in the future. There are so many cases, but Japanese people never even think about anyone from outside of the country can help something to their future. So that's why I started to wonder, okay, maybe we could do something connecting between these traditional companies and some potential investors or someone who could do something to them. It's a really good connection. I'm asking Stella if we could do something between Germany and Japan to have some collaboration to start to see potential opportunities.
Yeah, we are talking about that after the interview, definitely. And now let's have one more last question for you, Rio, which I really love to always ask in the end. What is your concept about success? How do you measure a successful day?
I think different between me as an Asian, like a Japanese guy, and you have some mindset, I guess. For me, there's one really famous quote. Poets in Japan, life is like a river, and you are the leaf on the river, the stream. I don't know where I'm going. My way of definition of the happiness is no stress, and I don't want to be tolerant or to be like against of the stream of my destiny. I should be somewhere I meant to be, right? This is my vision. If I feel I'm doing something against of my stream of my life, of the fate. This is really unhappy things for me. So I'm just still floating on the river like a leaf. And I'm just looking forward where I'm going to. This is the moment that I feel I'm happy. Actually, I'm already be a goal because I don't really feel any stress where I'm meant to be now, where I am actually. How can I answer to the question?
That's it. I think that's it.
Now I could have an interview with you, and this is also one of the fate I feel. Then now I learned many things from this interview. Then maybe we want to have another opportunity to keep this relationship. We don't really have to make any goal like success. If you feel now you're happy, if you feel you're ikigai at this point, I think it's good enough. And you can just appreciate to your family, friends, your colleagues, or whatever in your environment, then, of course, the world is not always happy. Many political divisions is happening, like in the currency is also sometimes really unstable. You sometimes have some struggle, you have a problem in your life, but this is also one of the, just like lifetime. The leaf on the river sometimes is stuck on the rock, sometimes. But it gradually just started to flow again. You can feel the mindset. Your shoulder is going to be lighter.
Wow, that's a great one. Great picture. Thanks for sharing. You have so many insights. Like I've learned a lot, and I'm sure people hearing now your mind about your life are also super mind-blown like me. Like I have so many more questions, I think, for another time. Thank you. Arigato, right? It's arigato for this one. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hast du Mehrwert aus der heutigen Podcast-Folge für dich mitgenommen? Schön, dass du dabei warst, und ich freue mich, dass du diesen Businessweg heute begleitet hast. Wenn du dir mehr Austausch zu deinem eigenen Geschäftsmodell und der Weiterentwicklung wünschst oder auch den eigenen Nachfolgeprozess planst, dann kannst du unser Team jederzeit kontaktieren und uns per E-Mail schreiben oder ein direktes Erstgespräch vereinbaren. Dann können wir nämlich gemeinsam schauen, wie wir dich am besten begleiten und auf deinem Weg unterstützen können.